Hey guys, welcome. Now, I know you're probably thinking, why didn't we release this closer to the 4th of July? Well, the reason is, of course, the movie comes out before the 4th of July to take in all that long weekend money. So we're going to do the same. Please though, follow us, listen to us, post this on Reddit and wherever. I want to get those numbers up because I think we do good work, and clearly if you're listening, you think we do as well. This week on Myopia Defend Your Childhood, we learned why it's called Independence Day. I guess. We watched Independence Day. Has anyone from a cable company ever worked as hard as Jeff Goldblum? Like, ever?
Hello, my name is Jay Patrick, and that is Adam.
Hello.
Join us for the Adam and JP Show.
Hello.
Available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Hello.
Get it now.
Hello.
Oh, we're just kidding. If you love comics, video games, movies, wrestling.
Who doesn't? These are all great things that make us who we are.
That's true. Then you should join us for the Adam and JP Show. You actually can get it on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Yeah, that part was true.
And right here on the ESO Network.
And adamandjp.com.
Stationary orbit. Part of it is broken off into nearly 36 other pieces. Smaller than the whole, sir.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week, we watched 1996's Independence Day. I guess Will Smith's prequel to Men in Black. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Defend Your Childhood and editor of Do Letter Podcasting. And on panel tonight, we have...
Abby.
Cliff Moore.
Madison.
Matt.
Excellent. So, before we get too far into this, we need someone to summarize the plot. Madison.
So, it's a couple days before Independence Day in 1996. Everybody's losing their minds because there's some creepy clouds happening. And suddenly, boom... ships appear in the sky. Will Smith doesn't know what's happening, nor does Jeff Goldblum, our two main characters, and shit just goes to hell real fast. Apparently aliens are invading. Oh god, what do we do? End scene.
Okay, that plot summary was just like the Rick and Morty tomato and sombrero aliens.
They're brothers.
And two brothers.
Crazy grandmas with ammo.
And they're brothers because they have a bond, but they're also brothers.
But thank God Jeff Goldblum's some kind of crazy scientist and Will Smith is a marine pilot, and together they save the world.
Brothers.
Can we talk about this movie in the context of the Rick and Morty episode for the whole time?
Rick.
I don't know why I made Morty an old Jewish man. Oh, I mean, it's because Harvey Fierstein is in this, and is Judd Hirsch.
You knew about it then, and you did nothing.
I like how when an actor is something about the way they speak that's so messed up that everyone emulates it. Because all the rest of the actors have a very... regular kind of flows to their voice, except, to their speaking, except for Jeff Goldblum, who sounds like he's having a stroke in the middle of each sentence.
Life finds a way.
What's with the fat lady? You're obsessed.
You're obsessed with
the
fat lady. He has a unique cadence. No one like I can think of can emulate that cadence. Well, if someone like tried, it would be like too forced. But just comes naturally to him in every character he has.
Yeah. The two most prominent...
Are you doing it? Yeah, there you got it.
The two most prominent actors that do this are William Shatner, Jeff Goldblum.
But
they have the strangest pauses. And Christopher Walken. Those three are like our top three
offenders.
But
Walken, it's a choice. He famously removes all the punctuation from his script sentences.
And just adds pauses to every... I think he just has ellipses in everything he says.
There was no way in hell the gooks were going to get your birthright, so your dad shoved it up his ass. 2 bouts of dysentery, just... Then I kept it up my ass. And he's just like, God damn it. Okay, so we need to get into this a little bit. Like all Roland Emmerich movies, there's way too many plots going on. So, the president, played by Bill Pullman, Lone Star from Spaceballs, that's all I got, is dealing with the fact that he is Bill Clinton and not very popular. He has less than 40% approval rating, and his chief of staff happens to be
Jeff Goldblum's ex-wife.
Yep.
Jeff Goldblum's, I guess, work buddy is Harvey Firestein.
Stein, maybe.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Harvey.
That's all you need.
Why did I just send my mother to Atlanta?
To Aunt Esther's. Aunt Esther's. Because everyone here is a stereotyped version of themselves. Who dies? Harvey doesn't make it. But his dad, Judd Hirsch, and them drive somehow to D.C. because everyone is related. It's amazing
how
this movie...
This is like Crash.
It is.
With aliens.
But better. Crash is terrible. Crash is a terrible movie. Sigh.
I have to rewatch this because I don't remember it being that bad. But now I'm really judgmental since starting this podcast.
Jeremy, how bad is it?
What, Crash?
Yeah.
I actually like it.
Oh, burn.
Not the Cronenberg version.
No, I know.
Okay.
Got the Academy Award too somehow.
Oh, God. Anyway, so we watched Independence Day, and there's aliens. And
it's the 20th anniversary.
And Dennis Quaid.
Or this year.
Randy
is,
Quaid.
Excuse me.
Next
Randy
week
Quaid.
Randy Quaid. Dennis is the cute one. Randy's
the
crazy
one.
He's
Wait,
not
Dennis
wearing
is cute?
Of the two.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
that's
by
true.
Comparative standards.
I mean, yeah. Out of the Quaids.
And Randy Quaid isn't wearing a muumuu in this movie. It's fantastic.
They managed to keep his crazy beard to a minimum. Because now it's all bushy and full crazy.
And he's drinking beer at 9 in the morning at a diner. It was great.
Well, at least he waited till after dark for whiskey. Which he's drinking out of the bottle for the second half of this movie. I can fly.
To be fair, in the beginning, he had a bottle of whiskey with him in the plane.
That's true.
I mean, he's crop dusting fields. What do you expect him to do?
Yeah, I guess so.
He was abused sexually, wouldn't
sexually.
You?
I mean, I love... the other part of this whole thing is, was he actually abused or is he crazy?
See, that's the big question.
I believe,
that would be an interesting side twist if, like, aliens really never abducted him.
They're like...
No, like, because we don't get the alien subtitle if all of a sudden they're like, oh, fuck, it's Randy.
We kick his ass out of here.
So, the blinds
maybe,
closed.
Crazy ex-girlfriend syndrome.
Maybe in Independence Day 2, Independence Again, we find out the alien side. They're like, that Randy guy won't stop calling us. We went on one date. He was obsessed. He's got like 17 cats. I don't know what to do with it.
In fact, we thought he was representative of your species, so it had to be wiped out. We had no choice.
There is no peace,
we
only
you were
death.
All Randy Quaid.
We just were hoping we could defeat you by withholding whiskey, but that didn't work.
We killed the cats off, and you guys didn't stop. We don't know what else to do.
Yeah, no. This movie holds up pretty well for 20 years old. I was reading some of the reviews. It got about 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really? Only 60%? I thought it got better than that back then.
I thought so, too.
It holds up really well for 96.
The CGI especially. Like, I was amazed. I was still going along with it.
There were plenty of... If you're really looking at it, there are a few
Maybe if you're looking that closely, but it flowed really well for me.
Jurassic World, we looked at really closely, and this was better than Jurassic World.
Well, I would say the difference is...
And there are contemporaries. Relatively.
Well, there's miniature work here, too.
Yeah.
And so there's special effects that surround miatures, so that makes it better because
that makes
the miniatures
all the difference.
Especially the White House scene. That was phenomenal. That still holds up, in my opinion. I don't care how campy it is. I still love the White House blowing up with the helicopter
like,
going down.
You would love
that.
The White House blowing up.
She's a terrorist.
Yeah. I think that's
guys.
I think that's one thing Star Wars got right, going back to practical effects and miniatures. And you see that when you blend CGI with that miniature work and something based in reality, it works just a lot better.
It does. Yeah. Because you're... When something actually explodes, it looks real. Like, we were talking about this when we did, a lot of movies recently, but, like, they don't squib blood anymore, and mm-hmm. so little explosions of CGI blood just don't look the same.
No.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with talking about Roland Emmerich, and we've wanted to do a bunch of his movies. We'll probably still do at least Godzilla, but the thing is, they all have more plot than we ever talk about, because everyone has their own little storyline, which is what makes this movie 106,000 minutes long.
Yeah.
I think it's literally 2 hours and 34 minutes.
It was a
24.
It was a lengthy movie.
It was 2 hours and 24 minutes.
How long was Bedknobs and Broomsticks?
Two and a half hours.
Six days.
It was long enough that I sobered up over the course of it.
What's the Rent song?
Sorry.
525,000.
600 minutes.
There we go. That's a lot in Bedknobs.
How do you measure a movie?
How do you measure a movie? Yep.
Tears. Tears.
Plot twists, transitions, and horrible acting.
MacGuffins.
In white fades. And
in white fades.
And smash cuts.
To be fair, this
directorial
movie...
debuts.
This movie had some great acting. It was just entirely too long.
Okay, and
wait,
I love...
this movie, I don't think it was too long. I was along for the ride 100%. Maybe it's 40, out.
No, 45, no, I like this movie. 40, it moves. It no, moves
45
at a good clip.
Minutes before it ended, Abby asked, we got, like, what, like, 10 minutes left? Like,
Abby, they're not even in space yet.
They haven't even gotten to the mothership. We've got another hour. Just sit tight.
How many of you saw this when it was in theaters?
Me.
100% here.
No, I rented it as soon as it came out, though. So okay. I saw it in 11... 10 or 11.
I was 8 and I loved it.
In fact, I should probably talk about my first experience with this film. It was before the film even premiered. I was just finished summer camp, went to my grandmother's house around June because it came out around the 4th of July, and I was flipping through the channels, and all of a sudden, I saw like a CNN newsroom kind of thing, and they were breaking news. There was apparently some big disturbances going around the U.S. They were talking about some major capitals. There was like some stuff going down. And I was sitting there riveted on the edge of my seat. And all of a sudden, the newsroom started shaking. And then they cut to, like, the special effects of the thing going off. And I remember that from the trailer. But for a while there, I was freaking out. I thought there was, like, some alien attack going on or some, like, major world disturbance, terrorist attack going on around the world. They talked about each major location. So the first instance of viral marketing, I think, got to me.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, it works. Now, I will say, speaking of weird first remembrances, this is the first, like, disaster movie I remember seeing where Atlanta is mentioned by name, and I was like, we're important enough to be destroyed.
We're on the map. Well, it was the Olympics. Though. It was the Olympics here. That's probably why.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah. It was probably like, hey, people heard of this city now. We're mentioned with like a comma right after like Charleston, South Carolina. Chicago didn't make it either. The Cubs were having a good year. Yeah, no, this people thought they were funny in this movie. There were some good lines, though.
Yeah.
Nobody's Perfect was good.
I like a lot of
that's my favorites.
The banter, like the Will Ferrell banter. No, Will Ferrell.
Smith?
Jesus, Will Smith.
That'd have been a very different
Will Ferrell.
Come, guys, I don't know if I can fly this thing. Whoa!
Where's the KFC,
totally
y'all?
Movie.
Somebody put it on upside down. That was crazy.
I'm his a voice bank the whole time.
But yes, the Will Ferrell banter and the...
Jesus Christ.
Will Smith banter.
You just saw the movie, man. You just saw it.
I know I did. It's been a long...
Yeah. So... I guess we should follow one person's plot line and kind of get this going. So, let's talk about Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum here, apparently MIT graduate, like, got his PhD, which they kind of allude to, but they don't really spend enough time making him a nerd or smart.
Well, he
really.
Went to...
Chess.
MIT for 8 years. He's good.
Beats his dad at chess.
He's actually good at chessing. He wears glasses. I mean, that's 1996 stereotype.
He holds up a page of binary code.
Yeah, exactly.
He's wearing plaid.
He has a computer that says, hello, Dave.
Okay, one person here is wearing plaid. Now, do we initially think, wow, this man's a genius?
This was 1996.
Probably not.
Now we just think you're an idiot. I'm kidding. Sorry.
He has glasses, too.
Hey, this is only 2 years after Kurt killed himself. No, less than that. 96? 1 year.
Oh.
Well, no, plaid. I'm just saying plaid was still around, man. What was Jeff Goldblum's character? David, right?
Mm-hmm. David, yeah.
Essentially detects the alien signal while working at the satellite TV, I guess it's a receiver station, right?
Because
filter it to cable. That being said, he is playing the aloof, nutty professor guy who doesn't realize that the world is literally ending around him because he's playing on his computer, which is the joke that they make 3 times in that sequence, because every joke that is made 3 times in this movie, which is why it's 2 hours and 40 minutes long. It's going to get longer every time I bring it up. You're going to keep correcting me, and I'm going to keep making this 3-hour epic.
It was 4 days.
3 hours and 24 minutes. Luckily, he is the sort of ex-husband of the...
Chief of staff?
Chief of staff of... So she's in the White House, and he calls her up, and she's like, bro, we broke up. Stop calling me.
Dude, I blocked your number.
And he's like, no, really, the aliens are attacking. And she's like, shut up. I've advised that you don't evacuate the cities, so this is really inconvenient for me right now. And then hangs up on him.
And then he still drives to the White House...
The loose change version of this movie is very bleak because literally everyone in a political position
doesn't
screws up at
him.
One point or another. Well, because they don't believe him. The CIA guy is hiding the fact that they're actually aliens that we know about.
Yep.
That could have changed so much. I could have sped through the
process.
Could have
saved so
evacuate
much time.
The cities, yeah.
Advisors are telling him we should evacuate the cities. Like, no, we have to make a show for it. Like, literally everyone makes the wrong decision. And Jeff Goldblum's the only one who gets it. And he still nearly kills the president when he tells an officer to shoot a can that's protected by a force field.
Even this strippers make the wrong decision, believe it or not. She what? Goes on top of the building when she wasn't supposed to, and the other one was just going in to collect her paycheck,
poor
and
Tiffany.
She got talked into working that night. She I mean, that was Will Smith's love, yeah, yeah.
I bet it was Tiffany with two eyes.
I mean, no one made a good decision, I don't think, in this.
T-I-I-F.
At least in the first 24 hours.
T-I-F-F-I-N-N-I. Tiffany.
That's three eyes.
Oh, fuck. And now it's PG-13. Sorry, guys.
It's actually R already, I believe.
I only said one F-bomb.
No, it's not just you. I mean...
Oh, okay.
4 yeah. hours and 24 minutes.
R meeting.
Thank okay. God Boomer survived, though. Can we just talk about how it's amazing that Boomer makes okay. it through the fire tunnel?
They would
buddy.
All be dead.
Yeah. The backdraft would have killed them all.
Well, Air Force One it. Would not have made it off the ground.
No.
No.
There not were that so fire, many, so many of these instances that it totally took me out of suspension of disbelief.
Which, when I found out that this same director directed Day After Tomorrow and 2012, I was not surprised because nope. all of these ridiculous things happen in all of his movies.
It makes me realize that, I mean, I know behind me somewhere someone is saying Universal Soldier, which is a good movie, but it's amazing how... No, I like Jean-Claude Van Damme. As a Belgian man, I cannot dislike Jean-Claude Van Damme. But it's amazing how he's able to surround himself with these huge casts and completely drop the ball with them usually. But somehow here, he gets a good performance out. I mean,
it worked.
I mean, and like, and his movies are all cookie cutter. Everyone, oh, yeah. there's one big speech every time. You know, Roger Ebert famously hated this movie. So in the sequel, which is Godzilla, Godzilla, the next movie, he makes Roger Ebert the mayor. With Gene, the nerdy assistant, and it's just a bunch of kind of horrible fat jokes as Mayor Ebert screws up everything because Roger Ebert hated Independence Day.
Let's be real honest here. The real thing that I couldn't believe was that Boomer was so well trained that he followed this family through the desert. He jumped over cars to get to them in this closet and understood what explosions were and all of these different things. I love Boomer. Best character. Thank God he survived, but... What?
I'll tell you what the thing is.
Did we ever see him down there in the bunker at the end? I mean, do we know he survived?
Yeah. Yes, we know he survives because he runs out with the kids.
Right, at the very end, right.
But I will say, you're wrong, because the CGI is not updated, right? So the dog doesn't see any explosion, because he's just wagging and looking off in one direction or another.
It's not enough frames per second?
No, I'm just saying that... The dog doesn't look scared. He's wagging and happy, and he's like, hey, Boomer, come here, boy. And he's like, oh, boy, I'm going this way now.
Those were the CG issues that I had with the movie, like when they were shooting down at the ground and explosions were going off and nothing was affected by the explosion.
Because, like, at least when people are on the interstate and, like, the ship's about to blow them up, right?
Yeah.
There's that green glow, and then everyone's face turns green because there's, like, that's something to look at. And then the actors are affected. But sometimes they're just like, let's add little things here or there. What looked great, though, were the dog fighting between the spaceships and the
that still held up. I think that held up great.
Do we have a budget for this movie?
$1 billion.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can look, but...
I imagine the effects budget for this movie was massive.
Do you think they traveled 9 billion light years on that budget? Will Smith had a lot of...
No, but they could travel from New York to...
Welcome to Earth! Sorry, go.
Punch. I love how... I'm just imagining being in the room... When this director is pitching this to the teams, like, okay, we're gonna have Jeff Goldblum as our hero.
I doubt Jeff Goldblum was the first.
And Will Smith is his, like, buddy in action. Like, let's be honest. Who would think, yeah, those two would probably have really good on-screen chemistry. Let's do that.
Or, all right, so here Will Smith punches an alien in the face.
And says, welcome to Earth.
Yep. Tentacles everywhere.
And then kicks him and says, I could have been at a barbecue. I don't know if I believe that. Also...
I love your reading of this line. I could have been at a barbecue. Thanks, Niles.
I also don't understand why there's a herd of Winnebagos coming toward Area 51. But
Texas.
You know what? This is New Mexico.
New Mexico. Oh,
that's where Area 51 is.
That's where the drunk guy and his kids were from.
Yes.
So, I guess all
So
of
they all just
states.
Followed crazy Randy Quaid and were like, this guy knows where he's fucking
all
going.
Just running in the same direction, like lemmings. Lemmings that are good at flying.
They're like water buffalo and Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
Both dads die.
Oh. Too soon?
So the budget was $75 million in 1996.
Six money, so you multiply by what, two or something?
Yeah, about. I'd like say 160, 170. Yeah, it's they did good work
for that amount of money. And it holds up.
The Avengers cost like twice that, even adjusted for inflation.
And this was like one of the big blockbusters of the year. Wasn't it like number one grossing film of the year or something?
Yeah,
like
I mean, in Clinton dollars, it made, what, like $300, $400 million? It was a big seller.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And again, I kind of, which, this was an era with big movies, long movies making money. But it's amazing that we've done some big budget action movies that are much shorter. No, I mean, it's just, it's baffling to me. Like, this is the era because Titanic is 2 years later.
That was two VHSs.
Are you calling that a big budget action movie?
Big budget special effects movie.
Okay.
That was on two VHS tapes, I'll have you know. That movie was six days long.
Anyway, so he cracks the code. He figures out that this is a repeating cycle, he says, of numbers.
I don't know what
because it's he waves a sheet of binary at someone. These are repeating. 7 hours, they'll be out of numbers, which is not how which binary works.
Of ones and zeros and ones and zeros.
But then they decide to take the New Jersey Turnpike and end up in D.C. in 5.5 hours.
5.5 hours somehow, with everyone else trying to evacuate the city and going south.
And literally passing him on the interstate. Like, you make the old man driving joke, which is fine.
Must go faster. Must go faster.
Which is, I thought he was referring to when he's talking to his dad. He actually says it at the end.
Yes.
It's like when they do the Expendables and, like, they just keep saying everyone's famous lines over and over again. Except...
I'm glad I never watched that movie when I wasn't super drunk.
You haven't seen all three of them? Because they're fantastic.
No.
They're so...
I watched one of them,
and I was super drunk.
I have to say, I don't remember them ever saying Arnold's I'll be back line.
Oh, he does say it.
Does he?
I thought he did. He says it in other movies. Don't he says it all the time.
I don't remember it from the Expendables.
He said it when he got reelected as the governor of California.
Well,
was it the third one or the fourth one where he finally said I'm
There's
back?
Only three.
It must be the third one then. Mm-hmm. Although, and Bruce Willis didn't want to say yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, so...
This isn't about dying hard or something.
Arnold said the line. He closed the day. Like,
it's a good day to die hard.
Called a priapism then.
Oh.
So we found the rails yet? Where are the rails?
So we watched a movie.
Yeah, okay. I almost got through the whole summary with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really.
No, you got to
he discovers the signal is getting worse and worse and worse. It's counting down effectively. And so they rush to DC to get to the president. The president finally sees them. We learn that they have a past where they apparently Jeff Goldblum cole cocked the president.
Mm-hmm.
You punch the president?
Fisticuffs.
He wasn't president at the time.
He was just a douchebag making a move on my wife, which is kind of what he says, which is a weird plot point. Turns out they get to Air Force One in 36 seconds. They take off just as the city explodes. Turns out Jeff Goldblum was right, which always happens because he's a science guy. And they're trying to find a safe place to land. Okay, that's how they end up at Area 51, because it turns out that there actually were aliens all along.
I did enjoy the newscast about don't shoot at the aliens.
You may inadvertently start an intergalactic war.
Hey, Americans.
You know some blood or crip is just going to be like, no aliens rolling up to my mofo pad. I mean,
fuck this bitch, he's in my area.
My mofo pad.
I don't know, I'm very white, I apologize.
Oh, no. But that's how it would have been written in 1996.
Yeah, exactly, I could have been a writer in 96.
This was before Chappelle's Show.
Right, yeah.
We hadn't understood
in cultural
race
awareness,
yet.
Yeah. And they even showed that scene, it was like the B-ballers playing when they're looking up and inexplicably a
the
white man
B-ballers.
In a business suit like comes up. Hey, I explained before, I'm very white.
Oh, no.
The B-ballers.
This is Roland Emmerich and like Michael Bay 101.
Cultural insensitivity 101.
Aliens show up or an asteroid shows up, racism goes away, right?
Yeah,
it's like
we
did Volcano last year and then everyone
comes together. They were in that really bad part of town during Volcano and like suddenly they were like, we'll respect what the police are saying now. It's cool.
Volcano was the one with the lava where I took a nap instead of talking.
Yes.
About, right? Okay, so this movie also reminded me of Volcano.
Because you wanted to go to sleep?
They were just taking forever to do anything about this. About anything.
I gotta say, that's a good thing about Armageddon is that we just got right to the point.
We did.
Yeah. It might have been a terrible movie, but we got right to
it. You're saying it took forever. Within 3 days, they defeated vastly superior technological alien invaders. That's record time right there. That's better than we could do now. I mean, are elected leaders today doing that? You think that would happen?
Like the rest of the movie, it had magical movie time, where 3 days took 6 minutes.
30 seconds.
24 minutes.
30 seconds was 5 minutes.
Speaking
and
of magical movie time, can we talk about the last 30 seconds they were escaping the nuclear device of the mothership at the end?
Oh no, I think we did a counter.
No.
We need to set this up because this plot is impossible to follow because everything ties together. Needless to say, they all end up at Area 51 after Brent Spiner is strangled to death by a rapid tentacle monster.
Tanaka.
I was this close to getting through it.
That was for the Japanese market.
That was
right?
Exactly right. Monsters, exactly. Yeah. We're big in Tanaka markets. But it turns out that after a drunken bender in which Jeff Goldblum decides he's going to destroy the planet because then the aliens won't want it.
That was such a convincing drunken bender, too.
He was really
Switch
drunk.
Switch out the stage whiskey for real whiskey. This is your brain on aliens.
I believed it.
I bought it. It reminded me of his morphine acting in the second half of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
But one way or another, his dad goes, "You're going to catch a cold because I'm a Jewish man and you're sitting on the floor and I'm convinced you're going to get sick." And he goes, "I'll give the spaceship a cold." And his dad's like, "You're crazy." And the plot writers were like, "You're crazy." And the audience is like, "You're crazy." And then they just went with it.
And Goldblum was like, "You're a genius, Pops." you're crazy because you're a genius.
Thanks, Dad.
I also like how alcoholism works in this movie because everyone's drunk and they sober up right at the right moment. Immediately.
I don't know. Randy Quaid was still about to fire those missiles into everyone. And he was pretty dry, yeah.
Fox 2, we haven't taken off yet. Sorry, my bad.
He's already engaging the missiles on ground base.
I mean, you want to talk about a wonderful AI because it's the only time the computer ever talks to anyone in this movie. Right? It goes, "Missile engaged." Doesn't happen another time. Hundreds of missiles are fired, and we see every
Never
single
once.
One of them. And only once he goes, "Whoops, I almost ruined the planet. I literally almost killed off all of humanity.
My bad."
Damn it, Randy, not again.
So they decide to give the spaceship a cold. They
With
have the
Mac.
That can somehow interface with advanced alien technology.
The only thing I can think of, and Matt next to me said, "Well, they've had computers hooked up to this thing to do diagnostics for years. Maybe at this point they figured it out."
That's Matt with his logic.
Well, I mean,
I just love
if you're talking about the shitstorm that is the technical explanations of this movie, you gotta kind of let some things fly.
I like that they took the time to program a graphic for scanning the computer and uploading the virus.
The Jolly Roger.
I was going to say, that's the part that gets me. Like, this is a rush job. We need to get this working. We only have a matter of time. I'm going to make an animated whatever that was. Because it wasn't a GIF.
Okay, to be fair, he programmed this whole virus in the span of, 2 hours, 3 hours?
Less than that.
Like, no time at all. Yeah, if he can do it that quickly, he can make a quick Jolly Roger.
That laughs.
Yeah.
By the way, can I thank you for referring to it as a GIF and not a GIF?
Yes, thank
graphic
you.
Interface. I mean, come on, graphic, guh. That's a guh sound. You're welcome, it's Internet.
1.21 gigawatts. Giga.
Gigawatt?
But yeah, so they hack the internets. They hack the world, as they say in The Core, which is, stay tuned, we got to do The Core.
Oh, God.
With DJ Qualls going, they've hacked the world.
Oh,
but they hack the world, and they set the Jolly Roger, the fat lady sings, they light the cigars, they have a fat lady fetish thing that they talk about. Then they launch a nuke. Then they have 30 seconds, which takes 4 minutes.
To get to the lattice that is the
beautiful set.
Yeah.
Beautiful set. It's
of the Matrix, as Matt so eloquently said. Was it, was it somebody else
Nick
off panel?
Initially, yeah.
Oh. That's fine.
You know, what I'm finding here is, based on this description, if you were, like, trying to sell me on this movie and I've never seen it before, I would think you're nuts and it makes no sense. But what I want to convey, though, to folks is that it's really a movie that has everything. Like, I fell in love with it as a kid. It has the comedy. It has, like, some heart-wrenching, like, drama. Like, some of the saddest lines you'll ever hear, "Mommy's sleeping now."
Yeah.
I mean, I cried as a kid in the theater. It had the big Will Smith being, like, a badass funny guy, action sequences, the big stirring speech that makes me want to give up and salute, you know, as you refer
which
to it,
you
that,
did.
That which I did, in fact, because the Bill Pullman, Mr. President, commanded me to. As you said, how does it not give you half stiffy watching that? You know,
oh no, it totally
100% half mast minimum.
This movie is phenomenal. Like
100% halfway.
So I just
want to tell you, it works every time.
Actually, I was thinking along the same lines. I had two thoughts. First of all, if we had had a drink every time you saw an American flag, I'd be dead.
100%.
But second is, I wonder if it wasn't pitched a different way to everyone.
Oh, it had to be.
Because, like, I'm sure they got fundraising from one producer. They said, imagine a Top Gun, but with spacecraft. Because a third of the movie really is dogfighting, very similar to a Top Gun movie.
Very well choreographed.
Exactly. You have love scenes. You have Patriot. Like, you have these big kind of Aaron Sorkin-style speeches. So, again, I wonder if there really wasn't not one elevator pitch or whatever, like, 20 little pitches, because every plot line is a different style of movie mashed up with some of the biggest special effects budgets they had at the time.
Oh, did it? Wasn't just like a standard disaster film. Like, it tried to integrate a lot of other things into it that it kept your attention and gave validation for all the different characters you saw in there. Each one had sort of a thoroughfare, and then they all kind of intersected at the end.
And then someone got drunk and put Randy Quaid in there.
So I didn't see this movie when it came out. The only reason I watched this movie before today was because everybody quotes it all the time, so I was like, all right, I gotta give it one watch. And it's just, they tried to do too many things. They stretched it too thin, it took too long, like...
So was tonight your first time seeing it?
No, it was my second time seeing it.
Second time, okay.
But it just... Yeah.
What do you do on the 4th of July?
I was... What do you do on the 4th of
July? I barbecue like Will Smith said.
I could have been at a barbecue.
Welcome to Earth. Which is a line they should have reused in After Earth. But then that would require me to see the movie to see whether or not he actually said the line.
He doesn't.
You saw it.
Oh.
I heard Jaden rocked it.
Jaden.
He rocked
him
something.
And his dad came up with a new form of math that they're not telling people because it's secret.
I didn't watch it in the theater, listeners. I watched it on
secret math.
I watched it on demand.
What is the secret math?
I've never heard about this.
It was the worst movie I've probably ever seen.
And it was supposed to like launch his career.
That might be worse because that means you demanded to see this movie. I demand, and the TV's like, "Well, it's on demand." I demand.
Whoa, I didn't. Somebody else that I was living with demanded, and I would just happen to be present.
The only time I would watch it is if it was a Mystery Science Theater riff track thing, because like
it needs that. It needs that so badly because it's so terrible.
Well, I mean, like the thing about this movie, which I appreciate, is it has a sense of humor about itself. It points. It points 100%. It makes fun.
It's campy at times, yes.
Well, I mean, like, the fact that Area 51 is a thing, and Judd Hirsch is like, come on, you know the thing with the aliens in the 50s, or the 60s, or whatever. And it turns out that's exactly how Brent Spiner describes it. In the 60s, it got exciting because it started to work. And then last 3 days have been super exciting. Like, he's really, like, running around with an erection.
They don't let us that much.
Clearly.
I thought it took itself too seriously to excuse just the magic that it used to make the plot happen.
It used a lot of magic.
So much magic.
Well, and it
like Harry Potter magic.
Well, but it wasn't.
No wands involved, though.
I mean, and to your point, half the audience doesn't believe it, right? Like, it's one thing if, like, Harry Potter, where people either believe magic or intentionally deny that there's magic, but here at certain points, people are like, but follow me on this one. And they're like, we're ready to go with you.
I thought you're talking about audience members. Like, I am totally against the idea of magic in this world.
Well, for me, the one that ruined it for me is the CIA guy. Asshole McAsshole bald guy. What's the actor's name, Jeremy?
James Rebhorn.
Thank you. None of you heard that.
James something.
Reinhorn. Rebhorn.
Rebhorn.
Who died recently and is a very, very good actor, but he knew about Area 51 all along. And then when people have plans that are clearly working, he says they're crazy. Like,
his plan was to continue nuking them, even though nuking them didn't work.
Yeah, clearly it didn't work. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that bothers me. When, like, it's one thing when you have this motivational, like, mobilizing plan. Like, no one says to Kevin McAllister, this is crazy, because we're just going with him. But the second someone's like, how dare you do this? He's the crotchety old dean, or he's the person that you have the bikini car wash to save the farm for, right? Like, he shows up at the wrong time, but never gets the memo. The president literally fires him, and it's a triumphant moment with 45 minutes left.
What's also funny is, and somebody else, it might have been Daniel that mentioned this, but the president talks about how, like, hundreds of American pilots have died. We're like, what about the thousands of civilians that died? No, we don't. Okay, cool. That's fine.
But the pilots are a valuable tactical resource.
No,
I
get that. But could we not take into the fact that, like, thousands, if not.
Well, I think the president cares because he doesn't want to send the nuke off.
I got annoyed when they just invented some alien anatomy that they hadn't alluded to at any point during the
thing. The baby alien in its head?
Yeah, but the crazy scientist was like, well, now we got to remove the exoskeleton. Like, they already knew this, and they were aiming for the, like, little alien dude inside a suit, but why wouldn't they put tubes up of the dudes and their suits? They just had the suits? I don't know.
I don't know. That didn't bother me. You're like, why didn't they establish it earlier? Well, they established it then. That was not necessary to the story until that point.
But then why would he just show them the suits and not mention that? Because that's a pertinent... Well,
To explain Abby's point, they have three tubes at Area 51 that are filled with these aliens.
Goo chambers,
thank you, that have aliens in them. But it's the full exoskeleton or biomechanical skeleton.
Was it the skeleton? I thought it was just them. Like, they were all shriveled up and I could see their eyes. I didn't think the skeleton was part of it.
That's what kept throwing me off, because it's the full body, but apparently the actual alien is in his head.
So okay. as you see the lab, when you walk into the lab, there are tubes, and he's like, let me show you them, and the aliens are floating in the tubes, and you're like, wow, cool, aliens. But when he gets a live alien and he goes to... dissect it, he's like, well, let me take off the biomechanical suit off of the top of the alien. The real alien's inside.
Yeah.
This is a pertinent tactical detail that he should have given the guys that were like, let me see your aliens so that we know what we're up against. But it only comes up when he's got a live alien, but he acts like he already knew it. So it's a plot hole.
No, they say that the aliens had suit that they took off when they crashed.
Yeah, they did when they crashed. Yeah, they said they're no more. See, you just have to get through their technology. I thought your point was...
Okay. See, I thought your point was that why didn't they keep any of the suits around? And that
I thought that's what you're saying.
So why are the suits in tubes and they didn't keep the aliens?
Those are the aliens.
Because you see the eyes clearly, because in the exoskeleton, the eyes are obscured. But you see the eyes clearly in the tube.
So they had just been bleached by whatever the tube material was?
Because when we die, we turn light gray. Because without blood in us, you change color.
And you're using this as a plot hole, like, the against the movie? This seems like really nitpicking right here. Yeah. I mean,
oh, I'm sorry. Have you met me?
Well, what we need to talk about just a little bit is how this movie kind of... I was going to say how it wraps up together. Because it feels like it wraps up...
neatly.
And way too quick. I mean, the movie's too long to begin with, but, like, the whole ending takes 20 seconds?
It's like 5 minutes. They're like, okay, we set off the bomb and peace out. We're going to light our cigars. Bye, we made it. And we've arrived. Our wives are running out to us. And the world's saved.
Well, and...
Happy Independence Day.
I mean, you say it's too long, but what would you cut out from it?
From the end of the... Oh, from the
from
whole
movie? From the movie, yeah.
I would pick one of the plot lines.
Yeah.
There's one too many plot lines. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, because... I really don't care that they used to date and now they're married again.
I have to say, the whole first lady and the stripper thing, like, we could have done without all of that. Like, I don't care about those characters. I'm sorry, but... Well,
and it doesn't add up to much.
They are the only reason that it passes the Bechdel test. I will give them that.
It does.
But I didn't, like, I wasn't really emotionally touched by the first lady dying at all.
Yeah,
she's sleeping.
Oh, yeah, that's the first lady.
She's
that's
sleeping.
Who she was.
Well, and I did like the president being like a good dad, kind of, but like the fact that the first lady was there didn't add to anything, right? Exactly. It didn't change anything.
It's weird that I didn't care about the first lady herself, but still, as a kid, I teared up when I said the mommy's sleeping.
Like,
even if you don't care about her character itself,
you care about
the idea of her idea as a mother itself. That's more generalizable.
You think about the little girl and sympathize with her,
Yeah.
And I mean, like, but other than that, it's an ambitious film. The weird thing is it works this time, I think, more than anything. I mean, and to Abby's point, she doesn't like it. That's fine. Frankly, again, it's only got a 60% positive rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
You're not in the minority there.
But other Roland Emmerich films try to have as many working parts.
They're awful.
And none of them work.
No.
Except for, but Universal Soldier doesn't have this many working parts. It's 2012, it's Day After Tomorrow, it's... the fucking French jokes in Godzilla.
Mm.
I can't get a croissant. A monster's destroying New York City. You're not going to get... You got a cup of coffee. Good for you. Don't forget, Matthew Broderick killed two people. He killed two people
in real
life?
Or...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
In his mass shooting? What happened?
No, he was driving a car.
Yeah, it was
a
like
guy
a driving
getting a handy,
thing.
Got in the wrong lane and killed two people in a head-on
collision.
But he
was like acquitted somehow.
Yeah.
He's Matthew Broderick. They were like, oh, you married
a
horse.
It was the year after Ferris Bueller.
It was his worst day off. You're welcome. And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
Mic drop, we're done.
Oh, Ferris. Save Ferris. Matthew Broderick.
I am your sexy action hero after Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum.
Ew.
Okay, so this is going to come out before any of us have seen Independence Day 2, Independence Day Resurrection, I think it's called.
Which I'm not optimistic for.
Another Independence Resurgent. Day? I don't know.
I want all of you, we haven't done this before, but we're doing this obviously because this movie is about to come out. I want you each to make a prediction of something you think is going to happen in this new movie.
Can I go first?
Oh, yes.
Man. I think there's going to be a dumpster fire.
In which the movie started and ended with?
Yes.
Okay, I think Jeff Goldblum is going to have to do some hacking, but this time on an iPad or a MacBook Pro.
I think that's a very, very...
That's a layup. That's not a... That's also, that's a horrible beard Pullman has in the trailers, so we...
I didn't even recognize him at first.
Yeah, no, I didn't either.
No.
I wish it started, and I know I'm stealing this from We Hate Movies, so props to them, but I wish it started with them destroying his presidential museum. Or, you know, like, the presidential library, there's a little explosion. They're like, ha!
There's a monument to him.
Yeah, exactly. Boldly piloting his F-18, you know? But I'm just trying to think, like, this movie, not like they said everything that needed to be said about aliens, but it's just... This movie wraps up so nicely. The last 20 years of his filmmaking have been so rough. Like, it can only be more trite from here.
Yeah.
My prediction is that the aliens win.
There's no Earth left? Well, I mean...
Dark twist.
It sounds crazy, but no, that's kind of how The Day After Tomorrow in 2012 ended.
I gotta say, like, I'm an American, God bless America, but I do love that a lot of foreign films end with not necessarily the antagonist winning, but the protagonist doesn't get there in time, or they're just short of saving the world. Like, I kind of like that. Like, it's campy and cheesy that every single movie that we put out, the good guy always gets there in the nick of time. Like, F that. This is the real world. Like, no. Maybe people F up, and a Mac doesn't interface with the Alienware, and we're all screwed. Like, maybe
sounds
that's
so
what
happens.
Sounds
so fatalist French films, you know?
I'm okay with that.
This like, is not your fantasy today.
I'm totally
everyone
fine with
die.
Independence-er day or not going well.
Independence-er day.
Do you want me to read the pitch for
Please
this?
Do, because I don't believe it.
Using recovered alien extraterrestrial technology, the nations of Earth collaborate on an immense defense program to protect the planet. When the aliens attacked with an unprecedented force, only the ingenuity of a few brave men and women can save the world.
I.e. Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith's kid.
That's not a woman.
What?
We need
what?
A woman. It said brave men and women.
Oh, the president. The Secretary of State. She's the new president.
Oh, that's what
for the trailer. Yeah. That'll be a chick president.
Yeah,
Control
it's going to be a chick
save,
president.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
So my prediction is 40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
If that.
And I think they're going to try to like re-emulate the formula of the original. There's going to be a stirring speech near the end, but I don't think it's Bill Pullman to give it. I think Bill Pullman's going to bite the dust somewhere along the line.
It'll be Bill Pullman saying the speech. He gets vaporized by the Mars attacks.
Yeah, aliens. Yeah. Like he's going to say it as he's dying, like we're broadcasting to all of Earth to like...
Today is our independence...
So this is going to be released the day it comes out. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to predict I'm not going to see it for at least a week.
No.
But
I'm going to see it in theater still. Just say, because
I
love the first
one.
So I'll see it whenever you see it. So, yes, I believe that.
And it's just as long. It's 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, my concern is it's going to be too much CGI. Because that's what the last few were. Like,
and as we said, what works so brilliantly about this one is the sparing use of CGI or integrating it with practical effects. That's what made it work.
Yep.
See, like, I think to Madison, I think you're right. I think if not win the day, the aliens are going to do much better this next time around, and we're going to see more of the destruction.
Well, they've already fought us. They know what our plan is.
I mean,
they're smarter than us.
Yeah,
I hope.
Oh, and
I just hope there's smarter life out there than us.
Liam's in this one?
Liam Hemsworth's in this? I might enjoy this movie.
It's amazing, though. It's such a big galaxy and universe. You'd think they'd find another sort of M-class planet to go after a main Earth. Why even bother spending the resources on...
Could be pissed him off.
Yeah, it has to be something personal at this point.
Maybe this takes place after Donald Trump is elected president. This is their way of ridding us. It's God's will.
I guess that with God's will, we should get into Final Judgment.
The aliens turn out to be Mexicans, and it's a metaphor.
Mexican bears are our biggest threat.
Let's go around the horn. Start with Matt. Final thoughts.
I thought it dragged in the middle. I thought there was too much going on, but there were a lot of parts that were really fun. Some that were definitely very memorable and will probably go down as very iconic scenes, as you had said, like, you know, White House blowing up, monuments blowing up. It's worth watching. I don't think I'd watch it 600 times, but I enjoyed my second or third time watching it, so.
Excellent. Madison.
So this movie has a soft spot for me because my friends in college and I used to watch this pretty regularly, and we would quote it a lot because we had nothing else to do in college besides watch this and other shows. We didn't do drugs, so we just watched movies. And
lame.
You didn't have to say that.
I know. But anyway, we just always quoted about, you know, signal source the moon and my David told you then you did nothing and that kind of thing. Anyway, this will always hold a very soft spot for me, but watching this with myopia glasses on, so to speak, it does drag. There are scenes that are iconic, like the White House blowing up, but I mean, I'll still watch it. It just isn't as good as I remember it being from my college years. So I give it a meh. On the Matt scale, it's a meh with three H's, if that does anything for you, listeners.
Excellent. Thanks, Madison. Cliff.
Well, I'll agree with you, son. This movie does hold a special place in my heart. I saw it as a kid in theaters, and ever since then, I was hooked. I mean, I was younger. My imagination was more broad. I didn't care about some of the physics or the logic as much. You know, I wasn't so disenchanted that I was at that point yet. And I totally went along with the CGI and how it was integrated. I was like, it was something I hadn't seen that much before. It was a lot of new technology that they were kind of pioneering there, and it was done in better forms than previous movies in that mid-90s era. I mean, I felt moved. Like, there was a tear in my eye when mommy's sleeping. I was a little kid. I could think, oh, what if my mommy happened to die or something? I was emotionally invested. Will Smith kicking their ass. I was involved. I love this movie. I am probably speaking of full nostalgia, but I still laugh at the lines. I know every line still, but I still go along with it. I still get inspired hearing the Independence Day speech. You crank it up, and, you know, my blood is pumping right there. I'm going to give it way more than a meh. I still love it. I'm speaking full of nostalgia.
You're
going, I'm sure,
with the meh plus.
I'm going with the meh plus.
No. Wow.
I'm going with the stand up and salute to Bill Pullman. That's,
I feel energized
with.
Now. I want to go, like, meh punch somebody.
Today we celebrate our Independence Day. I mean, how good, I love it.
Not any of
go
you.
Thank you, Cliff. Abby.
So I think anybody that really liked this movie in our audience had nostalgia for it. They had seen it as a kid. They really loved it. Great. But it did drag. It was very predictable. It's worth watching at least once if you haven't seen it. I mean, if you're just watching it for the White House blowing up, you can watch Austin Powers, but there are a lot of necessary pop culture references that if you don't watch this movie, you're going to be baffled in a lot of situations.
Were you baffled at some points?
Before I watched it. That's,
oh, okay.
That's the whole reason I watched this movie before, because people would be like, I haven't seen Independence Day, and I was like, no. And they're like, well, you've been under a rock? So watch the movie, point being. I think it would be best to watch it, you know, at like a social gathering where you want something to watch in the background, but you can talk over it because there's literally at least an hour of this movie that you don't have to watch. You won't miss anything. And for the most part, the special effects did hold up. Don't look at it too closely because then you'll be like, physics don't work this way. Oh God, physics don't work this way. I would give it a meh. On the meh scale.
Well, so I want to say that Abby's right. I think if you liked it when you were younger, you actually will probably still like it because it holds up, like literally just holding up, it holds up better than I thought it would. But it's a lot of things. That's the problem. That being said, I think it works best almost to watch it the way that I usually watch it, which is I just put it on during the 4th of July when I'm before the fireworks, when I'm just grilling, because that means you can go in when the good things are coming, because the predictability of this plot line makes it so you know when good things are going to happen, and then you can drift off when there's emotions. It's like when they try to weave in the love plot to Armageddon and you just want Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck to hook up. You know, like, because it doesn't matter. You just want to see them blow up stuff. But, you know, like, in between, it, as a movie, it's fine. But I think Abby's 100% right. Like,
I'm going to give it a plus two. Like, I love this movie, but if I'm being critical, it deserves the 60% that it has. Mm-hmm. You know, it's yeah. too long. It's ambitious in a way that it doesn't need to be. It worked. Clearly, it made its money back, and clearly, it allowed him to have an entire film career. Like, everyone showed up for this movie. That doesn't mean you need to.
I don't know if we actually talked about it yet, or someone probably did, but almost all of the acting was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. The yeah. casting.
Even
was
the
great.
Little kids, which yeah, are notoriously
hard to cast for. Yeah.
And they did
you
great.
As a kid actor.
Child actor. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there was some garbage kid acting in a lot of movies. These kids showed up.
Oh yeah,
they did.
Yeah.
And the little kid's like, "I'm shooting aliens," and Will Smith's like, "I'm going back to bed with your hot mom."
Yeah. No one phoned in for this movie.
No. Even the dog was smiling. Like, the
Boomer
dog showed up.
Boomer,
he
yeah.
loved craft services.
Oh, yeah. I bet Boomer's still alive in the next movie. I bet he's just.
I don't think so.
I'm going to go with Boomer.
It's going to be a different Boomer.
I hope they at least reference Boomer.
I don't think so.
Maybe he has his own statue. Will Smith is clearly dead. We see in the trailer he's dead. But if there's a dog statue, like, next to him, that'd be awesome.
Can I just say you just inadvertently referenced, like, one of the greatest lines I've heard? It's, "I'm there for the fun stuff, but I drift off when emotions are involved." What a metaphor for
you know
life,
what?
Right?
And with that, we're out of time. So tune in next week and every future week when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Defender Childhood is produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It's hosted by Nick Hoffman, produced and mixed by Ann Burns, and edited by Nick Hoffman. Our graphic designer is Scott Miller. The theme song is Caroline, written and performed by The Serenaders. Purchase their music through the Amazon link on dudeletter.com. Questions or comments? Please visit myopiapodcast.com or contact us through myopiapodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at myopiapodcast and at dudeletter, and find us on our Facebook, Stitcher, and iTunes pages. And while you're on iTunes, please rate and review our podcast. It helps us out a lot. Want to give us money? Go to myopiapodcast.com/Amazon and purchase stuff like normal. Myopia gets a piece of the action.